Hello, welcome to Our PVC Life, a safe place for all to tune in and enjoy. We hope that today's sermon inspires and encourages you. You can stay connected with us on our social media at MyPVCLife or through our website at ppclife.ca. Be blessed and enjoy.
God is good to me, and I must say that that's an understatement, but I would like Reverend Murray, my friend, to actually tell my story. She does such a wonderful job. And no joke, I'm serious. I can't tell it the way she can, but we're all writing our stories, and one day somebody will be telling your story. I want mine to be the best story that will glorify the name of Jesus and glorify the work of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, all three in one, in my life. Now, if you can beat that, go for it. I want to say thanks very much for, once again, Rev. I call her Rev, so if you don't mind me, she's my friend. You've heard the story. I'm not going to go back there. But she's my friend, and so I call her Rev, and excuse me if you think I'm calling her name too often, but she's been on the journey with me through thick and thin and hospital and surgeries and everything. But I want to thank her for inviting me, and I would like to thank the members of the board of deacons and the pastoral staff and Pastor Ruby, who sent me almonds all the way and candles from Lucy to help burn the house down. All these things. I just want to say thanks for inviting me. I am honored and privileged. My request to Rev and her team was, can I just come? I'm retiring. I've retired. I have a few Sundays left. Can I just come to say thank you? And that was all. Can I close my Bible and leave now? Thank you. But it didn't happen. It doesn't happen. What I'm learning is, as I grow older, is obedience is better than sacrifice. But a sacrifice now and then is very good. And so when I was here, November 2018, I left those of you who are sitting here with a word, a question. I'm good at questions, but don't ask me questions, okay? Yeah. And so the question was, is Jesus in your boat? For some of you who were here, you should remember that. Is Jesus in your boat? And I just want to say that all through those years, it's now 4.5 years, I have prayed for many of you who have been going through struggles, that you would always remember to weather the storm because Jesus is on your boat. There is nothing that we go through that Jesus cannot heal, he cannot take away, he cannot rectify, he cannot remedy, because he came to be our redeemer in every situation. So I see new faces, but I want to leave that question with you as well. You might never see me on the face of the earth again, but one day we'll meet in heaven after this, yes. And remember that Jesus, have him on your boat, in the storm, in the calm, in the stillness, in the sweetness. Always remember that there is Jesus in your boat, which means you need to have Jesus in your hearts. Amen. So Rev has told some of my story, but I just want to say I stand here honored, privileged, blessed, and everything else that from Genesis to Revelation can cover. I thank the Lord that I'm here, that he chose me as a teenager. I followed all that I should do in following his call on my life. Didn't know where I would be going, but when Jesus leads us, he leads us to the place where he wants us, and he doesn't leave us. He leads and he stays with us. So I'm so thankful. Watching these pictures again, you know, brings back so many deep personal memories. And excuse me, I don't want to get emotional. I can be very tough, but I can be very soft, and the Holy Spirit will bring a balance. So I watched those pictures and watched the video and my colleagues, and I wondered, what if we didn't go? What if you didn't pray? What if you didn't share the coins from the little or the much? Where would these people be today? And of course, we can't answer that, but it's as good as a human being to ask these questions. So the question inspires us and spurs us on and compels us to continue looking through the heart of Jesus, because there are others who are still so much in need to know Jesus, to hear the word of Jesus, to hear his name, to know the gospel. Jesus born, Jesus crucified, Jesus in the grave, Jesus resurrecting. That's the gospel. There are so many others who haven't heard just yet. So I stand here to encourage us all, including me, because I'm sort of officially retired. I might sit down in my corner and close the door and say I've done my part. But let us remember that there are still those who need to hear the name of Jesus and to know what redemption, salvation, and the love of God is all about. And this food thing that you have done last week, praise you, bless you. Because Jesus said in the book of Matthew, chapter 25, when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was thirsty, you gave me a drink. When I was naked, you clothed me. When I was in prison, you came to see me. And when I was sick, you were there for me. And they asked, when did we do all this? And he said, in as much as you have done this for the least of these little ones of mine, my brothers, you are doing it as unto me. And so I'm here to encourage us, whatever we do, that we do for Jesus, we do for his glory, we do for the extension of his kingdom. I'm going to read to you now from the word just a little bit, and it's not going to be projected on the screens because I really didn't know what I was going to read before Wednesday, and so you'll just have to settle for me what I'm going to read now from the book of Luke, chapter 21, verses 1 to 4. And Jesus looked up. It's all about Jesus, you know. All about Jesus. The sweetest name you would ever mention, the sweetest name you would ever hear. Then Jesus looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts in the offering box. This was in the temple, sort of like here, and the offering box was somewhere on the side or in the front in the days according to the Jewish time in the synagogues. By the way, when I talk about Jewish, don't forget to pray for Israel. Israel is the hub of what will take place in our lives. That's God's center, the epicenter for everything. Don't forget to pray for Benjamin Netanyahu. It's very important. So back to the scripture. And he saw a poor widow put two small copper coins, and he said to his disciples, truly I tell you, this poor widow has put in more than all of them, for they have all contributed out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, put in all that she had lived on. You saw where I lived, you saw where for 39, well, this one place was 27, and the Ethiopia was for the rest of the time. That made up 39 and a half years of my life. And by the way, not only the young people, the youth that you can come tonight, my age mates, if you want. Now that's a giveaway. My age mates, you can come as well. Rev, is that okay? You can come so you can give me challenging questions. So when we got there was nothing like, you know, the Word of God, and we started from scratch with the help of the Holy Spirit. But this scripture I have just read, the land is poverty stricken, and I don't like to say it because I feel like I'm a high-class colonial, but it's the truth. It was poverty-stricken. And a young person from Ottawa going there and seeing how the people lived or how they didn't live, what the numbers were, what so many questions. But let me fast forward to 2001, however you say that. By this time we had built churches because it was not fancy to stay under a tree and you have the blasting wind filled with the urine from the sheep, camel, goats and such animals and the spit and all that kind of stuff in the wind, and there we are sitting under the tree and praising and worshiping God and trying to bring the language, the message in the language. So bless God, many churches such as yourselves, you gave us funds to build churches, and now we have built quite a few of them, praise God, so that people can sit. I'm sorry, Rev, we don't have these fancy cushion things, but we have nice plastic chairs. So I wouldn't want fancy cushion things there anyway, because the dust will just be absorbed in them. Then anybody comes in, they'll have to start sneezing and things, you know. So it's good. It's for the land. And so it's time for offering. Now you're looking at a people. Food is an entity. It's a commodity. They have almost nothing. Well, how did they survive? That's for another sermon, which Reverend will preach to you someday. But the government comes in, Red Cross comes in, we, the Pentecostal Assemblies of Canada, we have come in and give food to the people. All right, I've just quoted for you, to you from Matthew chapter 25. To give and to give and to give and have people dependent on us is another story, but just see my heart for now. So we give the food, and now it's church on Sunday mornings. Service starts at 9 o'clock, and the 9 o'clock service, God help us if the weather was like today and there is no sun, because the people couldn't tell what time it is, because we go according to the sun. When the sun rises at 7 in the morning, when it moves, and that will be 9 o'clock over there. So 9 o'clock starts, and it's offering time, and the people have absolutely nothing to give, but they had received a ration of corn, white corn, and beans the week before or the day before. So you get the little ladies, this and the widow here, I'm focusing on her, these ladies putting in a plastic bag less than a kilo, maybe half a kilo of the corn or the beans, and they walk up to the front, and that's their offering. Then it's a day when the pastor has to get his food, so they have a special Sunday for that, and the same thing happens. And there's me sitting at the very back in the corner. I love the back in the corner because I have to see everything, you know, and everybody. And so recognizing that these ladies, and the church is made up mainly of ladies, the men are there but outside somewhere, and so I would know that they're bringing sacrificially from what they had to give to the offering, which the pastor would then probably, I don't know how he converted it to coins, okay, and I don't want to go there, but the day of the pastor's food, that's for him. And I know very well that these people would not have had a cup of tea. Excuse me, I see some people fanning themselves. I think maybe it's warm. It was me that asked to turn down the thing because I was freezing. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. Oh, where's Irving? I'm sorry. Yeah, but Rav, you know, it disturbs me because it's my fault. Back to the story of real life. Okay, I go. And so I know that they would not have had a cup of tea, whether it's plain tea leaves in water or with sugar. But what they have learned that the missionaries brought them was the gospel, and they give from the little they have to the shepherd and to the box that would continue with the church. Because of your prayers and the work of the Holy Spirit, I can stand here and tell you what, in a small way, what the Christians, not perfect, I don't think we are either, are we? No. That they do as per the word of God. So it was 2003, October, that the Lord said to us, now you have to go over there, and the place is there, and there are people there, and you must go, and you must go with the word of God. And when we go with the word of God, we have to take food, water, and medicine, and education, because those are the components to in the holistic nature of a human being. And so we listened, and we thought, okay, fine. We got gathered a group of the first generations, and we were dealing with first generation Christians, and we started on the journey toward the bottom of the hills to walk into this place where God has said we must go. And at the end of the map, when God said go, you don't argue, you just go, because it's an honor and a delight to go there, because we knew that the interior haven't had the word of God yet. And so we walked in, and in those days it was 18 kilometers from the base village. And we walked in and we met a few people, and they were looking at us strange, but they knew that who we were, because our village where we lived is 18 kilometers. And so the people said, we said to the people, we have been sent by God. Okay, that's good. Did you bring us food? Did you bring us water? Did you bring us medicine? No, there's nothing about a church here, or there's nothing about the word of God. They have in their language a word for God. They know God created everything, created them, created the beautiful, rugged, rustic desert. God created, they knew all that, but the name of Jesus not. So after dialoguing with them, and we came to an agreement that, okay, next time around, we will try to find a vehicle. You have experience about those vehicles. My friends sitting here, Annette and Hilda, they have experiences of those. They're from CLC. They just happened to skip church over there and came today here. Anyway, Pastor Sam will help you out. And so we walked in every weekend. We started off, we were a group of seven, one man and the rest of us ladies. Does that sound familiar? Yes. It hasn't changed. And so, for the good that is, because we ladies are so, so blessed and privileged to represent Jesus. Tim, you're looking at me funny. And we walked in every weekend. We sat under this big tree on the dry riverbed and on the rocks. Well, when you're 95 pounds and you sit on stones, it's not so comfortable. But you know what? The joy of the Lord, and when he sends you somewhere, it's not about the comfort zone. It's about what the mission and the vision is. And it's the vision was the heart of Jesus, is the heart of Jesus, that we take the gospel there. And so we got a little bit tired of walking in after a while, and we decided, a team of us decided, we're going to get the villagers together from base village and from that village to start making the road by hand. Yes, 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 these hands. And so we agreed with both sides that they will meet halfway in between, and the payment will be this. The payment will be what they wanted, and they wanted corn and beans and oil and sugar and tea leaves and salt. Well, now let me tell you, budget, it didn't, like the story she just gave you, and we saw all those nice boxes and things before, it wasn't like that. Ours would have to be, okay, Lord, that's what they want. You've called us there. You need us to go, not in comfort, but we can't take the vaccines on foot to 18 kilometers in the cool box like this. So we made it a matter of prayer. Well, we got some money and we bought corn, beans, oil, salt, and sugar from 80 kilometers away and brought it in. And they said, the people said to us, the men now, they were mainly men with a few ladies to assist. Now, what you have to do is give us this food whenever we ask for it. And we said, okay, what's the duration? No. Whenever we ask, you give us the food. We decided on a ration. We have a 3-kilo tin like this, and how many was going to be given. And so we continued. They started building the road, and it was hard work in the sun, you know, 50 degrees, 60 degrees Celsius. The water is far away from the dry riverbed, and it's muddy by the time they drink it, and all that stuff. And so we, at the junction, we gave them what they wanted. But then there became a ruckus. They said, we are not working anymore, and let me tell you, when the men stand tall and loud over you, and they spit and things are falling on you, a person has to move back, you know? And so, a person my size or my height. And so, they said, we don't want that food. We want this, that, and the other commodities. We said, no, but this is what we agreed on. They said, yes, but we have changed our minds. Okay, changed your minds. Now, we gave them the ration. We gave both parties the ration. This side, because that was the end of their contract, they walked away and left this side that's leading toward the hill. The place that God really wants us to go is to strategic. These guys, they're already getting services in the base village, but God is focusing on where the word has not gone, where nothing is available except his people are there, and that's where these are the ones causing the conflict to say, it's like a cornmeal mixed with some protein stuff. We want that, and we want milk, and we want sugar, and you think, okay, God, where is this going to come from now? So they said, we are not going to work until you give us those things first this time. First they want, now they want the payment before the work, so we are in a corner, we're in a trap, yes? And so, well, back to the Lord in prayer, you know, take it, everything to the Lord in prayer, because he created the earth, he created the fullness thereof, he created everything that's in the earth, and it's he that sent us there, so therefore he will be Jehovah Jireh, the provider for his people. And by faith, not fear, that's what we had to do. So we said, okay, you can have this ration, take it, and how long will you give us to have the food? And they said, immediately. We said, no, can't happen. Will you continue doing the work until we get the food? No, we want to see the food. Well, that's good, seeing is believing. And do you see a word here called trust? They don't trust us. And so we went to the Lord in prayer. 2.5 to 3 months later, while the work is sitting, while we are still going on foot every weekend, sitting under the tree, bringing them the word of God, they're monitoring us, they're testing us to see when will they bring us our food before they can start the next length of the way into the village. Well, thank God, the food arrived, we gave it to them, they start the work, they completed the work. The end of the story, there's Annette and Hilda here. There is Rev here. On November 2005, Reverend took a battered Land Rover to the village of Lokwatubwa to baptize 32 people. She did. With the local pastor. Yes?
You must tell them why I did it, because you were in the hospital.
Didn't I tell you, my friends, that she should be doing this? if Pastor Murray and her team of Sandra Gill and friends, Donna Davies, did not come in, I would have been history. Yes. I was driven out 80 kilometers. This was not in the script. I was driven out 80 kilometers to be tested. In those days, we didn't have a lab or anything like that. We weren't sophisticated as what we left now, praise God. And so they tested me 80 kilometers away, and they said, oh, no, you don't have malaria. Okay. But death was staring me in the eye. Don't know, I can't ask you, do you know how it would look like when you're dying? Because I don't think any of you have ever been there. But it was fever, and Rev, very compassionate and kind, talked to the pilot that they came on the plane that they came on, and he flew me out to Nairobi. Our colleague Janice Foss ran me to the hospital on the other side of the city, and I spent 7 days in the hospital. I wouldn't say I was fighting for life. I was just so comfortable, so peaceful. Whatever will be, will be. The only thing that disturbed me is that there are so many people who have not heard the word of God yet, that the ones we needed to reach. My family does not know the word of God. My family doesn't even approve of me being there. And then if I should die there, it would be negative. And the story went on in my head. But praise God today that he had everything in plan as we obeyed him, as she was obedient to come in with her team. And listen, folks. One of her requisition, what's the word? I forget the word. What's the thing? One of her things to the Lord, English won't come right now, was, I will not go unless Deborah is there. What did God do? He brought Deborah out and took her in, and there she was with a team of ladies ministering to the regions beyond. There's a message here. It's not a story about Reverend, about me, about Annette Hilden. No, there is a story here, for a message here for each one of us, that when Jesus says it, we do it, and we go with him knowing who he is. It's all about Jesus in our lives. Today in that village, friends, today in that village, there is a medical center, there are staff houses, there is a beautiful church with crosses all around. The reason why we have crosses all around, because there are still people on the top of the hills who need to hear the name of Jesus. And when they have their struggles, no food, no water, no education, no medicine, no nothing, and their ladies are dying at childbirth and the babies are dying, that when they stand on the hill, miraculously, the sun will hit the cross and would flicker like this, and Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, will be brought to their hearts and to their minds. Okay, we have all these media things these days that people are saying that they will take, media will take the gospel to the ends of the earth. That is true, but we used what we had in our hands, and that was to make the cross. For all at the cross, when people look at the cross of Jesus, there is life, there is hope, there is everything that a human being would need. There is also a nursery school that Erdo supported. Now it's in the hands of the government. Back to the road. The government has come in and graded the road. It's all gravel and dirt, but absolutely wonderful. Graded it, made it to be a real nice road. And the government of that place is using that road to take activities, water especially, to the interior where people haven't heard the word of God yet, but they're taking in the fresh water. What's the moral of the story? The moral of the story is this. Matthew chapter 25, laborers in the vineyard. I want to start with the first verse, and then I go down to the bottom. For the kingdom of heaven is like a master of a house who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. And after agreeing with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into the vineyard. And I jump down now to verse 13. There was a little bit of a squabble because the master went out and got other people who were standing on the byways not having a job, and he said, go to my vineyard and work, go to my vineyard and work, go to my vineyard and work. And when the time came, the master said to the foreman, go ahead and pay all of them now. Start with the last ones who are employed first. And so a squabble came out, and the people were saying, why are you paying us the same thing? We started first at 9 in the morning. These guys that came at 5, and they just worked for 2 minutes or so, and you're giving the same denarius. And the master said, friend, I'm doing you no wrong. Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what belongs to you and go. I choose to give to the last workers as I give to you. Am I not allowed to do what I choose with what belongs to me? Or do you begrudge my generosity? So the last will be first and the first will be last. Today, here we are. We are these workers. God has ordained it that we are all supposed to be doing and being something in his vineyard. The vineyard could be whatever. Rev will preach at you one of these days, but I don't want to venture out. The moral of the story here is, who is the one who sent you to the vineyard? It's Jesus, King of Kings, Lord of Lords. Will be returning soon. Who else would you rather to represent on the face of this earth? The Prime Minister of Canada? No. The Prime Minister of wherever you've come from? No. As we sit in the sanctuary, beautiful, comfortable, in this house of God, as we say, remember the one who is looking to you to be his hands, his love, his everything extended is Jesus who resides in you. And if Jesus does not reside in you, please don't leave here this morning without knowing that Jesus, God sent Jesus to die on the cross. Jesus willingly shed his precious blood on the cross for our sins, for our sicknesses, for everything that we face. And that if we confess our sins, He's loving and kind to forgive us of our sins. Don't leave knowing the saving grace of Jesus Christ. So I want to ask all of us, and I would hand over to Rev. I want to ask us, what has Jesus given to you? I am not talking about coins, please. I'm not talking about money. Not at all. He's above that right now. What has Jesus given to you that after hearing about the people at the ends of the earth that took the little bit of corn up to the altar or to the pastor's place or people making the road by hand and getting a little sustenance? What if we hadn't turned our backs on this group of people that says, no, 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 we don't have the resources, we can't give you what you're asking for? What would happen to the people who are now receiving the gospel and would continue to receive the gospel, and the 32 that were baptized, and the so many that were fed by Annette and Hilda during the feeding programs? These are just examples, practical examples, that God took us, all of us together. The story is yours, by the way. I'd be the instrument that went and was my joy. But the story is yours. You have prayed and you have given financially. But the question is this morning, is what else does Jesus requires of you? He has showed me what is good and what the Lord requires of you. But to be humble before the Lord and to have justice. So I leave that with you this morning, and may the good Lord speak to your hearts, to our hearts. You know, if I had a mirror, I'd be talking to myself as well. We haven't arrived yet. To ask God, what do you desire of me? Jesus, through the power of your Holy Spirit, what do you desire of me? And so there is what I love, the altar. If I'm to write a book, it would be on the altar, because at the altar, and the altar could be anywhere, but in a venue like this, the altar is at the front. Here is a place where young and older and whoever you are, to come and say to the Lord, here I am, take whatever you have given me back from my hands, from my heart, to reach out to others so that others will come to know you, so the kingdom of heaven will be extended. May the Lord bless you.
We hope that you enjoyed today's podcast. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review it if you enjoyed. You can also help us reach others by investing in our church at ppclife.ca/give. Thank you again for joining us today at Our PPC Life.